Welcome back to Rude Dude.
Welcome to the Rude Dude Recovery Podcast with your host and resident wet brains, Cam and Hen, two dudes navigating the waves of wellness. Thanks for being here. This week, the dudes debate whether it's more important to express your feelings or understand your partner's perspective. We delve into the concept that genetics load the gun, but trauma pulls the trigger, and discuss the impact of self-compassion in our interactions with others. Then we end it by sending Henry off to his wedding in Greece. Please enjoy Season 2, Episode 11 of the Rude Dude Pod. Welcome back to the Rude Dude Podcast, the show that puts some pep in your step, takes some weight off your plate, and reminds you that haters are going to hate, but you are loved. We are your favorite recovering alcoholics, Cam and Hen, here with nothing smart or funny to say. How are you there? Damn.
Well, you know what, man? It's kind of like back to our previous episodes. It's like reunited and it feels so good. Dude, like it feels like when we don't sit down for like 2 weeks that I haven't actually like seen you in an eternity. So I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good, bro. Last week's episode was really fucking fun. It sucked that you couldn't make it. What's going on with those cats, Hoss? I've been very, very fucking curious. Did you find them homes?
Oh, well, you, first of all, incorrectly described what my current problem was, because that was a separate problem. The problem during the day we recorded was that my Airbnb wasn't clean and guests showed up.
And then that happened.
That was a separate problem. The upstairs neighbor took one, and then two like randos from the neighborhood or something took the other two.
Okay.
But I've been notified that that's a felony by a shelter that I collected, and those people owe me like 2 months worth of rent. So when I report them to the courthouse, I will be notifying them that they left cats, because if I'm being honest, dude, the money is one thing, leaving your fucking cats,
nope.
Not chill, bro. That just like not paying rent, whatever. You know, we're all scumbags. Yeah. Fine, you know, whatever. Leaving your fucking cats after you specifically got two more, after you already had the one. I knew about the one, and then you got another, and then you got another, and let them trash my house, and fucking left them behind. I mean, unforgivable.
dude, I'll tell you what, dude. That's those animal abusers. That's another way, dude. I could never abandon a fucking animal, bro. Like
they were indoor cats. They weren't like every fucking time I went to the house, they were inside. They weren't just like they chilled outside. I don't think they went outside at all, bro.
Oh, bro, they just left them outside?
They fucking left them outside.
Oh, get fucked, dude. Send them to the fucking gallows, bro. Get them the fuck out of here, dude. That's the scum of the earth. I'm now pissed, dude. I'm pissed.
Dude, I'm serious. Like, the money, whatever, but, like, that just makes you a piece of shit.
Straight up.
Dude.
I mean, you think that we'd all been inundated with enough fucking SPCA fucking commercials with Sarah McLachlan in the background to know that we don't need to be, you know, abusing animals. Well, and the fact that we're just going to leave our indoor cats outside in West Virginia, what, like, to get fucking trampled by a deer? You guys got, like, mountain lions out there and shit? What do you got out there?
Actually, I don't think we have mountain lions. We do have a lot of deer. We have bears, but I don't know if there's any suburban bears in my hood, but I mean, whatever, dude. We got like cocaine bear. We got fucking like possums and raccoons and all kinds of shit, brother.
I believe you got some coyotes and shit that would love to snack on a cat.
Coyotes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so these are the joys of being a landlord and stuff. Man. It can be a major bummer. It's not a good time.
At least you have rights. I mean, dude, that happens out here, bro.
Virginia, we do.
That happens out here. You're going to
own your house, sign the bill over.
And they're moving back in, and they are co-owners of the house, and we're kicking out the other people that live upstairs, and exactly, that's theirs dude. Too.
Yes, it's and you're going to actually pay them for the back rent.
Oh, a homeless man took a shit on your sidewalk? He owns your house now.
It's your house, dude. It's their house, man. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter out here. It's fucking crazy. What are we getting into today, bro?
Man, well, I got the most random thing. You probably saw this on here. So I've been watching The Sopranos, as I told you. I'm full-blown Italian. I've been watching The Sopranos. I just watched Godfather 1 and 2 for the first time, might I add. Really? I'd never watched them. And that was something that Kristen was not going to allow to pass. So we went in on both of them. Good movies. Al Pacino's kind of debut into major film. Well done. Very well done, Michael Corleone. But what I noticed, and this isn't a deep cut, but I have a deeper cut, but I'm going to mention this one first. But what I noticed is the girl from The Sopranos. This is how ADHD brain works. I'm like, why are we talking about The Sopranos? I was just talking about fucking The Godfather. Yeah. But the girl from Sopranos is also Jax's tweaked out baby mama from Sons of Anarchy. Did we notice this? Did anyone listeners notice?
Are you ready for this fucking hot take, pal? I've never watched a single episode of Sons of Anarchy. Not one.
Dude, I never watched it when it came out, but I watched it recently, and it's a good one. But here's the more important one. This is the one for all the dough. Okay? Good Will Hunting. Okay? Incredible. Every fucking time I watch it, I'm like, I'll just watch it for a second and turn it on. It's so fucking good. It's incredible. Yeah. All right? But there's a crew. All right? There's obviously Matt and Ben. And then there's it's his actual little brother, right? Casey Affleck is the other one.
Yeah.
And you know who the fourth guy in that fucking crew is?
I don't. Remind me.
It's Rip. It's Rip from fucking what's the goddamn show with the fucking horses and goddamn shoot 'em up present day Montana fucking fuck me. I don't know.
Holy shit, dude. No. What is it called?
It's the best.
Dude, I can't believe we can't remember the name of that show. It's got Kevin Costner in it. What's the name of that fucking show, dude?
Yes.
We are fucking literally special needs. Bert. What is the name of that show?
Jesus Christ. You know, this is an interesting phenomenon to point out. Do you ever notice when someone else forgets something, it makes you not be able to think of it? Noticed this?
Dude, what is it called? Like fucking Utah? No, what is it?
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone. There it is.
Boom. Yellowstone. So Rip, who's a total badass, every woman's fantasy, big beard cowboy, is that little redheaded prick from Good Will Hunting. Next time you guys watch it, give it a look. It's very interesting. I think Kristen noticed it, and I was like, mind blown.
Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that we couldn't fucking remember Yellowstone. That's fantastic. And by the way, why is Kevin Costner in every single Western fucking show, movie, or film ever invented? Like, there's another new one coming out.
Yeah, and I heard about that. I heard an interview with him, and it's going to be like a three-part movie. It's either two or three parts, and each one is 2 or 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah, because I noticed, dude, like, literally Dance with Wolves. Like, he's in fucking everything. Anything involving, like, the Old West or being a cowboy.
I think he actually loves that time period and the story of it.
I can dig that. I like Civil War shit and stuff like that. I dig it.
Yeah. Well, now that we've wasted enough of everyone's time talking about useless things and not remembering, you know, blockbuster shows, I did have an interesting point that I wanted to get to, and I want to thank you for this. So we had my mom on, and I realized that I'm very sensitive of of like my mom and protecting her because I love her and I don't want anyone to ever think a bad thought about her or I would have to murder them. So we were talking along those lines of like, did she sound okay? Did it? And you were like, yeah, dude, you know, it sounded great. And then I talked to several people. They were like, yeah, it was awesome. And through us talking about this situation, Cameron's child is currently experiencing an exorcism right now. through us talking about this situation, I realized I have been granting my dad grace for years now because he was so hard on me and I had a hard childhood, but I was able to say he had a hard childhood and he was doing the best he could. And I realized through our conversations that I was not granting my mother the same grace that I was granting my father. Mm-hmm. And as I was thinking about talking about this, I realized the reason. My mom is a fucking sweet angel. Like, mm-hmm. So I didn't really ever have to be like, oh, it's just because, you know, she's this or because of how she grew up, because she was the sweetest person, you know, you'll ever meet. Mm-hmm. But there are like quirks to her personality. And this is kind of what we were talking about and things that I'm like, oh, you know, that was a little weird. And where you were like, dude, that's your mom has experienced a lot of trauma. And that's what happens to people who have experienced trauma. And after we did that episode and we got to hear her story, which is wild. And, you know, I heard it on a level that I more than I'd really ever heard before. I was like, oh, my God, why am I able to grant my dad grace, but not my mom?
Dude, I think it may be because you were able to actually hear it back. Right. Like it's all fine and well when these like types of conversations, like, yeah, like you said, you knew that her dad was an alcoholic, yada, yada, yada. But had we heard it to that level, to that extent, kind of like what you just described. Right. And now that you have the insight gained from sobriety, right, like you're able to kind of relate to suffering a little bit more. And so when you sit here and you hear it and then you can kind of analyze, you can go, oh, holy shit. Like, dude, that's the why she's the way that she is, right? Like I see it all the time with my dad, and I have to give him more grace, right? Because dude, he wasn't raised with any sort of emotional intelligence, right? At all. It's literally like didn't talk about anything. And so any sort of trial comes up, bro, like dude just will not talk about it. Will not fucking talk about it. It doesn't exist. I'm going to power through it. I'm not okay, but I'm going to pretend I'm okay. And then I'm going to sit here in distress all this whole time. And so, yeah, dude, I think it's a beautiful thing that like you were able to have a conversation, long story short, and have that realization, because that was her part of her story, dude. And that's who she is. And she's a beautiful person because of it. So it's a blessing. You know what I mean? Like without those trials that Deb went through, would you even have the sweet angel mom who loves you as much as she does? You know, who knows? And that's the beauty of life.
Yeah. And it's also a really cool thing to think about, like that her mom was pretty, you know, standoffish and, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, never too lovey, touch, whatever. And my mom was very loving and caring and affectionate. And so it's cool to think that she kind of broke that generator, whatever you want to call it, and did it the way she wanted to. But yeah, like you said, I've heard all that stuff, but we never sat down for an hour and a half and just talked straight through it. And, you know, hearing it again, like she was out on her own at like late 17, paying all her bills with not a dime from her parents. And I mean, dude, it like talk about growing up immediately and having responsibilities way before you're like mentally prepared to have them. Like, that's some serious shit.
Dude, and I actually like, and especially like when you think about the scenario, right? Like she, like you said, she couldn't go to her mom. Her dad was raging and drinking, right? She was doing what she had to do to survive, right? And I think it's so beautiful how she didn't fall into that like generational trap, right? Like, oh, hey, mom was cold, so therefore I'm cold. Like, I credit my Grandpa Davis for this because, you know, my Grandpa Davis used to get his ass beat. I hear it from my Uncle Denny all the time, like viciously by his dad. His dad was a World War One vet, and he would beat fucking my Grandpa Davis like to a pulp for anything that happened. Kind of like how your dad, explain your dad, right? Well, dude, my Grandpa Davis never laid a fucking finger on my dad. Not one. Not one, right? Even after World War II, even after everything. And dude, like my dad, like the only time he ever hit me was when I came home drunk one night and I fucking literally told my mom, fuck you, because I was blacked out. And he picked me up by my neck in the kitchen. I remember it to this day. And he slapped the ever-loving shit out of me across the face.
As
and
I was he like, should have.
As he should have, bro. As he should have. I don't disrespect my parents like that, but I was fucked up and, you know, I was driving and being an idiot like we are. And dude, he slapped the shit out of me. And I remember I shirked down and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And dude, I mean, he was like, I remember, dude, what the fuck? And then I hear him stomping through the kitchen. Dude, there's little Olympic 17-year-old Cameron. And I get picked up like in a fucking chokehold, dude, just wham, dude, right across the fucking face. And then
my 17-year-old son is blacked out talking crazy to my wife. It's going to be some furniture moving around this motherfucker.
Dude, I'll tell you what, dude. Ham tries that shit, dude. Like, not only he's going to be bigger than me, but I'm going to beat his ass regardless.
I'm even like a spider monkey.
That's right, dude. Chokeholds, dude. Chokeholds.
So dude, anyway, yeah, we'll take a quick detour and reminder to say everyone is fighting and has fought battles that you know nothing about. Mm-hmm. Grant them some grace. And here's the fun side. You could be wrong. They could just be an asshole. But you can make us up a story in your head that, hey, this guy had a tough childhood. He's having a worse day than me. I'm going to just grant him some grace and pray that he gets everything I want for myself and move on with my fucking day.
That's a hell of a way to do it, dude. And I actually really like that approach. You know, and this kind of pivots back this conversation. This pivots back to what Caroline said, you know, about those people with the sexual abuse and the trauma and all that. It's about having the conversation, right? Your mom had that same release. She texts you after that show, mm-hmm. right? Like, hey, mm-hmm. I feel great because I finally got to have the conversation. So yeah, man, it's just having the conversation. Sometimes we just got to be that ear, bro. Sometimes we just got to be that ear.
Yeah, and I want to say thanks again to her and to you. You did an awesome job, and
thanks, bro.
She was very interesting. Like you said, her energy was great. Like you could just feel, just listening audio, you could just feel she was like spry and ready for life and positive. And I love that. And that was also interesting. The point you just talked about was like, there's this stigma that we don't talk about it, except every time I bring it up, every time I speak about it, someone will come up to me and be like, I was sexually abused and you're the first person I've ever told.
Yep.
And how cool is that? Like you're allowing someone to fucking remove this thing that they've been holding, take this weight off their shoulders they've been holding for X amount of years. So mm-hmm. yeah, man, have the conversation. And that goes out to your dad.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm working at it. I'm working at it, bro. Someday
he might. Are you chipping away at old Chip?
I am. I'm chipping away at Chip, dude. I'm hammering away with these different types of mindfulness approaches and trying to get him to see that, you know, what he's doing is all just his own doing and that there's an easier, softer way. And then he looks at me and he just goes, all right, yeah, cool. And then he just like turns around and fucking doesn't pay attention to me. I love him to death, but it's like he's frustrating as hell, bro. Like when I tell him things, he's looking at me and it's like he's listening, but then he doesn't take the advice. And I want to punch him in the head, dude. Like, because then I'll see him doing the same shit when something else pops up. And I'm just like, bro, what did I tell you? Like, what did I tell you? This is why this is happening. And I think it's because I'm his son and, you know, what the fuck do I know, right?
Well, I mean, my dad's been pretty, pretty cool with like taking stuff that I give to him. He usually takes a couple weeks to marinate on it. But yeah. Then he comes back and he's like, I've been thinking about what you said, and that's a great point, and I think I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we haven't quite got there yet with old C, but we'll see, dude. We'll see. What else we got going on here, brother? I got to know about this online casino epidemic. Talk to me about this.
Well, Dude, unless you- I think it's a very dangerous thing that we're doing. So you guys can't do it in California that much, but like in West Virginia, we can play slots on our phones and a lot of states. Dude, and it's absurd. And you see the memes about it. They're like, here at the DraftKings Super Studio from the FanDuel play of the game, like where every sportscast gives you a bet and tells you what the bet is and all this shit, which, by the way, I'm pretty sure they fucking – and they give you these pre-made parlays, which there's always one leg that is has a 1,000% chance of not hitting. And but it's like, wait – I'm telling you guys, I'm predicting it. Put it on wax right here on the Rude Dude podcast. The next epidemic is going to be gambling, a gambling epidemic, because it is just way too fucking accessible. You should not be able to play slots on your phone. And I have friends that like have ran up their whole paycheck in a night. And dude, I'm sure it's happening all over. Yes.
No, dude. Not on the phone on the phone slots?
$2,000 in 2 hours.
Oh, on get the fuck slot. Out of here, bro. This is an intervention. No, dude.
Dude, it's too accessible. I won't play. I do gamble. I like sports betting, but I like to think that at least there's an edge and it's a little fun because I watch sports, whatever. It's still not great. But I won't play the slots. It's too easy. It's right like it. And I've done it. I've tried it before. Dude, $100 down to nothing in like 3 minutes. I'm like, no, I'm good. But I just don't like it's advertised everywhere. It's on every sportscast. It's on your phone. There's fucking 16 different apps. There's DraftKings. There's FanDuel. There's ESPN Bet. There's Barstool. You know what I mean? Like, it's way too much, and I think they need to put some litigation in and back it off because everybody's going to gamble their whole fucking house away, dude, on their phone.
Well, dude, I got to say, I don't trust any sort of slot machine that's coming across my phone, bro. Like, let alone I have enough trust issues with the fucking slot machine in a casino. You mean to tell me that I'm going to trust the fucking online fucking phone machine? Yeah. No, dude. Hell no. Hell no. So, yeah, Henry's friends, if you guys are doing that, you need to stop right now, dude. That's absurd. Now, you are onto something here because, bro, like, I like to think, like, this is me with tinfoil hat mode. There's a whole bunch of shit going on, like, in sports and sports betting, bro. Like you know what I mean? And these people are just getting caught. Like, dude, you can't tell me. I bet you Shohei Ohtani knew that some of those bets were getting placed, you know? But they're not gonna clap down on Shohei Ohtani, right? So they're going to have
down on fucking the one douchebag in the NBA that nobody ever heard of before he got in trouble. Michael Porter's cousin that they don't care about. They're not going to put the face of the MLB out. Like,
no. And yeah, it's always some guy like Jimmy John, who's a fucking third string punter or something like that, dude, that nobody's ever heard of. Right.
We're going to make an example out of this guy. We know you never heard of him, but he's out of here.
Lifetime ban. This is what happens if you bet on games. It's bad to do. But by the way, here's an ad for betting on games. Like, dude, you're absolutely onto something, and it is rather addicting because it does hit that same type of dopamine receptor, bro. Like, I get a zip out of fucking hitting a fucking sports bet. And I mean, I don't go as hard as you do, but dude, there are people out there fucking, like you said, you know, betting like, you know, life and limb on a game. Like all Keanu Reeves and Hardball sitting there smoking cigarettes and fucking, you know, running away from bookies, you know.
Well, and here's my point with the phone. At least with the casino, there's some barrier to entry. You got to get in your car. You got to drive to the casino. You got to make the decision. Like, your phone is with you 24 fucking 7. And I've been with people, like, we're going out to eat or we're hanging out, and they're just sitting there spinning. Are you spinning right? Yeah, you don't fucking. Dude, it's like, imagine instead of Facebook, you pull up the casino.
Are like, you spinning right now?
Yes, bro. It's a fucking thing. Welcome to West Virginia. And I'm just saying, dude, it's dangerous. I don't like the thought of it. I'm not joking at all.
I'm sorry, dude. The term, are you spitting right now? You just sound so dirty and nasty. Yeah, bro. I just see some guy scratching his neck. Yeah, man. I can't put it down.
Few more spins, baby. Then let me get a few more spins.
I'm gonna hit it. I just put it on 35 black. Old phone's gonna give it to me, man. That's crazy.
The barrier to entry. You have to think about it. You have to decide. You have to get in your car. You have to drive there. But like, accessible is clicking on Instagram. That's dangerous.
I agree.
Real
I
don't quick. Think there's any tell me. Though. Tell me who? What team Jonte Porter plays for?
I don't even know what fucking sports he plays with. Dude, I don't even know who he is.
Exactly. That's the guy who got banned from the NBA for life.
Oh, I should have known Porter. Yeah, you said Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, right?
Yeah. But yeah, that's my point. You made my point, though. Like, this fucking guy nobody's heard of, he's banned for life.
Yeah, no, dude. Everybody's got three guys in their little entourage, and they're making bets for him. And then, dude, how many times do you think these fucking refs are getting down on this shit? You see some atrocious calls. You can't tell me that if you watch any fucking Chiefs games that there's not something going on there. There's something going on.
You can't tell me. We're putting on the tinfoil hat, but when there's too much money to be made in anything, they don't leave it to chance.
No, the powers that be will make it happen, straight up, dude. And money talks. That's a great point, man. So thoughts and prayers for the fucking spinners out there in West Virginia. You guys, we'll start a fucking Spinners Anonymous or some shit, dude. I don't know. This is fucking wild. You're blowing my mind over here, bro. Are you spinning right now?
put the phone slots down.
Put the spinner down, dude. Put it down.
All right, man. Well, this thing about compassion, was that you?
This was you, bro, or, you know, a ghost of
I don't remember. Dude. Okay. All right. Well, let's run this. The ghost of me, and I've been keeping notes for a show that we would have to fill in for like a month now for whenever we didn't have a guest or whatever. So a wiser version of me wrote this down. It says, you can only extend as much compassion to others as you give to yourself. When you think of yourself badly, it transfers to others.
Mm.
Yes, I remember. I heard this somewhere. You can only extend as much compassion to others as you give to yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's a powerful one, man, because it's, I think there's a good like Pope John Paul II quote like that, like your being increases by to the extent that you give it away, right? Like it's kind of like you extend your compassion to others. Why won't you treat yourself that way? It's hard to do, man. It's hard to do especially when we fuck up. Like for me nowadays, when it comes to giving myself grace or like compassion, it's when I give into like my anxiety or my depression. You know what I mean? Like when I get caught in those loops and I can catch myself fucking spinning like the spinners in West Virginia, bro, like dude, it gets fucking nutty. And then I can get mad at myself, dude. I can get mad. Like, you know what I mean? Like dude, like because I but the point I'm trying to make, dude, is
sorry, bro, I was spinning. What'd you say?
But when people come to reach out to me about their anxiety issues or their depression or things like that, like I'm the first one to talk to them about and have compassion. Yeah. Right. But dude, I won't give myself that grace. I won't. And I really got to work on that, dude.
I think as I was reading this, first of all, I think it's hilarious. I just Jeff spiked myself. I read something that I wrote down and I had to think about it and try to understand it.
Dude, that was true.
Wow, this is a great point old me made.
I was fucking on it.
Okay, but I was looking at it, and I think the reverse, I think the second sentence is more true than the first sentence. And what I mean by that is when you think of yourself badly, it transfers to others. I do think this is a well-known phenomenon that bullies, whatever, people that treat people bad, feel badly about themselves. They're either projecting or they're trying to make someone else hurt because they hurt, right? Hurt people hurt people.
Correct.
The other side is interesting because of what you said. I was going to make the same point. You can only extend as much compassion to others as you give to yourself. I also feel that I give others a lot more compassion than I give myself sometimes. And it reminds me of this quote, Claudia, my anger management teacher, used to say, if you talk to you the way someone else talked to you, or if someone else talked to you the way you talk to you, you would punch them in the face. Word. And it's so true. Like, I'm like, you know, I'll make a mistake and I'll be like, God, Henry, you stupid fucking, God, you're so dumb. But I would never see someone make a mistake and say that to them. Yeah. So I think it is a little harder to give yourself that same compassion. But I could see where you could think yourself into better acting and start treating yourself nicer and therefore start treating others nicer. Or in the reverse, see when you treat others nicer and extend that same compassion to yourself.
Yeah. And it does rub off, dude. It does rub off. Like, you know, that's plain to see when you're in like the recovery community, right? Like when you start being nicer to yourself, you're nicer to everybody else, right? Like you can see it, like all of a sudden, like the person who was sitting in the back of the fucking room, sitting there with their head down, 6 months later is opening the door for you, is maybe sponsoring somebody, is maybe doing some other things, you know? And it's because they showed themselves some compassion and what am I trying to say here? Did some soul searching and started loving themselves. And once you love yourself, you can love others. And that's really kind of the gist that I get from this quote, because I mean, we can all just be so hard on ourselves, man. I can sit here and go, dude, I should be farther along. I should be doing all this. I should be doing all that. That's one of my character defects, is the time wasted. I've mentioned that on here before. I beat myself up on that all the time. I do. I sit here and I go, okay, dude, things I was able to accomplish in 6 years. What if I didn't fuck off my entire 20s? Like, you know what I mean? Like if I didn't fuck them off, like, and that still haunts me, but you know what? It made me who I am too. So yeah, it's useless. And the thing is, dude, is I'm a guy who sits here and preaches like, oh, hey, I'm grateful for my suffering. Well, yeah, dude, I am, because you know what, dude, it made me where I am now. And if I didn't turn into the alcoholic that I was, who fucking knows what that Cameron is, bro. And I don't want to know. And it's not for me to fucking know, but I struggle with it from time to time.
Yeah. And you know, as you're saying that, I had a buddy that just went back to treatment, and he called me from there, and he was bumming about the last couple of years that he wasted because he's been fucking off and he's been unhappy and blah, 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 and not listening and doing whatever. And I was like, dude, that is gone. It's done. This is today. Today starts the beginning of your new journey, your journey back to finding yourself, your journey to happiness. Like, we only have from this day forward. We do not have whatever happened back there. So let's forget about it and just move the fuck on. And so if I would give that to others, but I'm honestly pretty good about that. I previously did, like, you know, compare myself to some of our friends who didn't fuck off their whole 20s and think, wow, this is, look at them, you know, they got all these stuffy things and that looks nice. But it's off the table. We are where we're at, and like, we go from here forward, and that's it. There's no point in dwelling on what you did or didn't or should have, would have, could have done. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it is a complete waste of fucking time. It doesn't come around as much as it did in the beginning. As much as it did in the beginning. In the beginning, it came around a lot. And now, like, now, you know, I my whole, like, paradigm's changed. You know what I mean? Like, everybody with the stuffs and things, dude, I kind of know what goes on behind the scenes of those types of, some of those relationships. And I just go, dude, I'm a hell of a lot happier over in Humble Town. You know what I mean, dude?
How many stuff and things bills they have?
Yeah.
How much stuff and things debt?
Yeah. How many fucking bills coming in, dude? And how many $10,000 mortgages? You can miss me with that, bro. I got no part of it. I want no part of it. So,
yeah.
But dude, I got to bring up something, because I was brushing my fucking teeth yesterday.
First of all, no, you weren't. Okay.
I was.
A lie.
And this is absolutely ridiculous, but it's just hilarious, man. So I'm sitting there, and usually we use, like, I forget what the hell of the toothpaste we use, but I go shopping and I'm a tight ass. So Arm & Hammer was on sale, right? So I'm like, sweet, that's a deal. I got to have it. And so I get Arm & Hammer and I'm brushing my fucking teeth, dude. And I'm sitting there, dude, and I just look at the fucking logo, dude. Have you ever looked at the logo of Arm & Hammer, right? And I it's look like at
an arm with a hammer.
Dude, like, how fucking ridiculous is that fucking, like, think about the people who started that company. Be like, dude, I got a killer name for this killer company. We're going to call it Arm and Hammer. And it's our logo.
And what's the logo going to be?
It's literally going to be a fucking flexed arm holding a fucking hammer, dude. Like,
genius.
I mean, dude, I had this fucking revelation. I'm looking at Ashley and I'm like, please tell me I'm not fucking crazy, dude. Like, is this logo not the stupidest fucking thing you've ever seen? It's literally a jacked arm with a fucking hammer, dude, in a circle. And the company's name is Arm & Hammer. It has nothing to do with baking soda or toothpaste or anything. I can't do it, dude. It drives me nuts. Are you looking it up? I hope you're looking it up.
Yeah. It's actual.
It's a fucking trash. Arm with a hammer, dude.
It's probably like Russian propaganda too.
Dude, who knows what this Arm & Hammer is? But dude, I had to bring it up because I was sitting there and I was like, dude, whoever made that company, they were on one, bro. They were spinning or something, dude. There was some crazy shit going on back in the day with fucking Arm & Hammer.
Well, first of all, you know you're going to get a text on like Monday morning from Kristen explaining all the reasons you shouldn't be using Arm & Hammer toothpaste and why it's sweet. Bad for you and how the chlorine diophosphide triglycerides don't have enough acid.
I'm sure. I'm the last person who gives two
dude, bucks about it is Russian, brother.
Is it?
Russian sleeper cells are invading your teeth. The logo, an arm holding a hammer, was inherited from a Vulcan Spice Mills, a company Arm & Hammer acquired in the mid-1800s. Vulcan, the Roman god of fire, was associated with metalworking, which involves hammering metal on anvils. Oh, so I saw Roman. Vulcan and just assumed Russian. I don't know if that's even
it's Roman. It's Italian. It's Italian, but it's fucking stupid, is what it is. And that's all I gotta say. Who am I?
It's pretty dumb. I'm looking at it. What's interesting is
I love how we're breaking down the fucking logo.
From 1846, it basically hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It's a fucking arm with a hammer, dude, in a circle.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, I had to bring it up, dude. I was last night. Okay. This is me, the end of my day. This is my fucking life, dude. So I guess I have no room to be fucking making fun of spinners, dude, because I'm over here analyzing fucking toothpaste tubes. This is 36 in sobriety.
That's spinning, brother.
That is spinning, dude.
Well, since previous me was a better person than current me, that's not true. I had another quote that came up, and there's often an argument about with like depression and anxiety and stuff like that. Of is it genetics or is it trauma, like is it nature or nurture type of thing. Mm-hmm. And a great quote from Brené Brown: genetics loads the gun but trauma pulls the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of arguing over the semantics of which one is it, for a lot of us, if you were blessed with both genetics predispositions and trauma, you got the double whammy and it's going down.
Dude, I've been fucked from the absolute jump, bro. Like my whole mom's side is nothing but a fucking bunch of nervous, jumpy, anxious people. And then my dad has it too. And so like, bro, like it's definitely genetic. It passes on. And there's a fun little thing about that. Like if you struggle with intrusive thoughts, I heard a great thing from Dr. Sally Winston on this. Like you can always tell who has a sticky mind, like those thoughts that stick and you can't shake them from your head. They're usually the family member that drinks too much. And that's it, dude. They can't shut your fucking mind off, bro. And she's like, it's real easy. Alcoholics tend to be those ones who have it.
Facts.
Yep. It's a fact, dude. Try to shut that fucking head off, bro. Cause it won't stop. It's just spinning. But yeah,
I literally dumped gallons and gallons of liquor down my throat to tell my head to shut the fuck up.
Same, dude. Same. And it worked for a while. It did. And then all of a sudden it just got louder. But yeah, I remember that was my cure for everything, bro. That was it. Especially shutting off the heads. But that's a great point, man. Cause sometimes it might be a traumatic event that is the catalyst. And I think that's what she's saying, right? Like, it's like, hey, you know, you may have all the ingredients and you may be anxious every once in a while, but then one big event comes and all of a sudden, then there you go. You're off to the fucking races. I like to think something like that happened with me. Like I said, like fucking, you know, kids bringing guns to school and shit like that. Like a lot of things scared me when I was a kid. I was afraid of fucking tornadoes. I thought a tornado was coming through Sacramento, which has never happened ever in the history of Sacramento. but I watched Twister and I was convinced that every fucking dark storm cloud was gonna fucking blow my anus into the sky, dude. And so I had to go to therapy real fucking young, man. And so yeah, genetics are definitely there. And now that I'm seeing that they're making a second Twister, it triggered the fuck out of me, dude. I turned the channel the other day, dude. It was like I saw an ad for it and I was like, get this shit Sacramento off the TV now.
Will once again experience its first tornado ever.
Dude, Sacramento, Tornado Alley, dude, to fucking, you know, fourth grade Cameron, bro. Watch your ass.
Oh, damn.
Dude, that's a fact, dude. That's a fact, man. That's a fact. I was terrified, bro. Like, I was so afraid because of that Twister movie. And it was that first scene where they're in the fucking cellar and the dad, like, blows away with the fucking door, dude. It was fucking blasted in my mind, dude, that anytime a dark cloud came, dude, like there's a tornado, it's gonna blow me away. And Helen Hunt can't save me, dude. And it's all over with.
I can see the headlines. First ever Sacramento tornado specifically targets elder millennials' anus.
Dude, since we're in 2024, dude, everyone's got it on film, dude. It just fucking takes me away, dude. That's it, man. That's it, dude. Just me.
Some fucking Gen Zer gets interviewed. I don't know, this dude, like, born in the late 1900s, he had tall socks on or short socks. I was looking at some, like, 30 as fuck page that I follow, and I guess kids are like going back to tall socks and they're trying to get rid of short socks or something.
Yeah.
And I just,
yeah.
Why? Yeah,
I saw that, dude. Ankle socks are for old people. Ankle socks, old people.
What?
I actually got to say, dude, I actually stand with the younger generation. I'm a big fan of the pole high black Nike socks, bro. You don't like wearing fucking tall socks? A little scrunch on them. They're not saying it's pulled up to your junk.
I wear tall socks if I wear boots. If I wear fucking like gym shoes to the gym, I wear short socks.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey.
But I also believe in like everyone's right to wear whatever the fuck socks they want. Like, what are we doing here?
Dude, I got to send you a picture, by the way. We have been in Flop Nation over here for so long.
You are from Cholo, California, where you wear shorts.
Dude, give me some JNCOs, bro.
Nike Cortezes, bro.
I'm telling you, dude. I have such a wicked ass tan line on my feet from the flops I've been wearing, dude. I've worn my thongs like for the last like 2 months. It's literally like my skin is just brown. And dude, Addison was looking at it the other day. What's wrong with your feet, daddy? I was like, oh, it's flop season, honey. It's flop season.
You don't wear your tall socks with your flops and go full ninja?
No, dude. I think the only time I was busting out socks with sandals was back in the Mac Dre era. I remember I would do that. I'd wear Birkenstocks with socks and a fucking.
Well, this is an interesting cultural thing. In California, we wear flip flops. Out here, everybody wears slides.
Okay.
There's not a lot of flip flops out here. And a lot of people do the slides with socks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's like your winter slides, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we digress. One more thing. One of my favorite podcasts is Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, and they've been talking about this show Couples Therapy for a while, and I've been trying to like find it and see what it's on. Well, it's on Paramount, so if you have Paramount, you might want to check it out. Kristen and I started watching. It's really interesting. They have cameras, and it's literally a woman performing therapy on couples. Mm. Obviously, they know they're being filmed, and they've agreed to it and stuff, but dude, this woman is fucking fire, and it's basically like getting some free therapy for you and your partner, because there's a lot of issues that like all couples have that they talk about. And there's this one guy in there, he's actually part of a thruple, which is not the correct term, because she corrected Dax when she was on his show.
What the fuck is a thruple, dude?
Three couple, two, there's two women and one man.
Oh, okay.
You know, polyamorous, whatever. And he's kind of a fucking douchebag, but maybe he'll turn the corner. But he was like, no, but she needs to know that. And the woman said, is it more important to express what's upsetting you or understand what's going on? And then she followed up. He goes, well, I think it's important to know who started it. And she goes, it would be in a court of law. Boom!
Oh, dude. Dude.
Your relationship is not a court of law. It is a relationship so between you and another human being you love. And is it more important to be right, or is it more important to understand where both of you are coming from so you can resolve this issue you're having?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's some heat, bro. Because it can be like that, right? It can be like that, to where it becomes like a competition, or at least
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, dude. And I do like that part where it says, is it more important to express what's upsetting you or to understand what's going on? For me, I do got to say, dude, thanks to the sobriety, bro. I like to get nowadays. I like to understand what the hell's happening. Like what is happening? Why is it happening? Past me would be, you know, way more enthused about expressing how the hell I feel and how the fuck you're wrong. That's a part of growth on my part. Cause I want to know, and then I want to solve it. And I mentioned that on here before though, dude, where I want to know and I want to solve it. And then I want to solve it on Cameron's time. And that means in my mind, right this instant. and it doesn't work that way. And so
there you are. The verdict has been read and I'm not sentenced to any time. So this needs to be over, but we're not in a court of law.
Exactly. So, you know, it's growth, dude. And that's how relationships work though. That's how successful marriages last. That's how anybody in a relationship works, dude. You know what I mean? Like it's not a court of law. I gotta repeat what you just said. That's a fantastic statement. Maybe I'll watch that show. It sounds interesting.
It's very interesting. And what ended up happening was the woman had a good reason for why she did what she did. But all he felt was his hurt and his pain from what he thought he experienced, and that she was wrong and owed him this apology or whatever. And the therapist's point was, did you take the time to understand why she did what she did? Mm-hmm. And when the therapist gave her the stage to give an explanation, it was a legitimate explanation, but he wanted to play victim and you owe me an apology and da 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 da. And she said, wait, is it more important to explain that why you're upset and all this, or is it more important to understand so that you guys can, and this is kind of what we talked about. And we've had several episodes now addressing resolving conflicts, but it's like what you said was right. And I understand why you said it. It's just how you said it. Like take the time to understand where the other person's coming from and give them the stage to explain how they felt or why they did what they did, instead of just, you did this to me, you were wrong, I'm right, and the only thing that matters is me proving I'm right and you bowing down.
Yeah. And if you come from that latter approach, like you just explained, it's a one-sided deal. You have already figured out the outcome. It's rigged. You know what I mean? Like you're not coming into that conversation to resolve it. You're coming in to win. You're coming in to say your piece and to win. You're not there to resolve shit. And so I love what you said there about hearing their side, right? And no matter how hard, this is hard. That's a hard skill for a lot of people. No matter how hard it is to take that, right? Like, hey, here's something, especially if it's pointed at you, that, you know, you can sit here and be like, well, fuck you, dude. Like, what the fuck? Like, I don't want to hear that. Here's how it made me feel. But the real gold is in the being able to sit there, being able to hear it, being able to sit back and being able to analyze it and then come up with a solution, right? Through healthy conversation. And so, yeah, man, that's fantastic. I'm going to watch that show. I need a new show. I don't even know if I got Paramount, dude. That's the last thing I fucking need is another streaming service, Hoss. Come on, man.
We're not paying for cable. We're going to pay for 15 streaming services that cost more than cable, the point.
Dude, is your bill as much as fucking as a cable bill? Because mine sure as fuck is.
Dude, we have so much stuff. Plus we pay for Hulu Live because we have sports.
Same.
And then we have Apple, Amazon, fucking, like, yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
I got Comcast internet, and I got to have the Juke internet because fucking me and Ash work from home. So I got to have that. And then I have every streaming service under the sun. My bill is more expensive than I was paying at Comcast when I initially left Comcast. I said, here, I'm not paying this anymore. I'm going to go over here and stream because that's what everybody else is doing. And now I got to have 500 different streaming services. Now, at the NBA.
Well, they keep doing it on purpose and splitting on us.
Yeah, it's fucking ass, dude. That's what the NBA is going to do now, too. You hear about that?
The NFL, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody, they did the math, and they were like, it's cheaper to attend every Carolina Panthers game in person than to pay for all the streaming services you would need to watch every game this year. Mm. Now they're doing this Peacock bullshit. Peacock. And then one game's on Amazon. And dude.
Yep. And the problem is, dude, is they know they got us straight hooked in the fucking lip, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to fucking pay for it, and you're going to fucking like it. Because old daddy Raj.
You're going to pay for it, and you're going to fucking tickle the balls when you do it.
That's right, dude. It's just another form of spinning, dude, run by Raj. That's fantastic, Raj. Well, dude.
Well, buddy, I'm getting married in 8 days.
How we feeling?
I have this weird thing where, like, it won't feel real to me till we're on the plane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I have natural amounts of jitters and stuff, but I have to remind myself, and I've talked about this before, I have anxiety and what I call high functioning anxiety. But here's an example of what I'm able to do. When I am like, oh my God, is this, should I be doing this? Like, whatever. I'm like, we already decided, and we is me and myself, because that's how we talk to ourselves. We already decided when we asked this woman to marry us that this was probably the best decision you have ever made in your life. Mm-hmm. It is the right decision. She is the right woman. And you made this decision of clear, sound mind, knowing that it was the best decision. And in that we rest. We do not second guess. We do not all of a sudden try to change our mind. We do not worry or concern about, and you know, she's listening. Of course, it's not like I don't want to go through with it or anything like that. It's this shitty committee in my brain that wants to tell me things, all things are a bad idea or scary, or I have this like impermanence thing. I don't know if anybody else experiences this. Like, even with tools in my tool belt, I'm like, I can't decide the perfect place where this tool needs to be. So it doesn't need a specific one spot. I'll just put it in the one that I can reach while I stand on this ladder. And I don't need to always put it in the same spot, but everything I don't know. I've not done a bunch of research into it. I've heard it's a thing, but like impermanence, I don't always put stuff back in the same, like, and so I get that idea. I'm spinning out, dude. I'm fucking spinning. And I'll get on my phone.
Dude, you're spinning, bro. I got it.
We're good.
Okay, yeah. I think you totally made the right decision. And those feelings, those feelings that you have, man, that's natural. Every single person who's about to get married has that thought. It's kind of like the same thing that I like to say to people like my cousin Matt, who say like they don't think about using or anything like that. If you don't like second guess right before you get married, like, hey, am I making the right decision? Then you're fucking lying. You're lying. You know what I mean? Because, and if you are having those types of thoughts, right? Not saying that you are or anything like that, but if you are, it just really shows how serious you are and how serious you take the marriage, which is very important, right? It, you know, because it's kind of lost its luster. You know, a lot of people like to fucking just, you know, oh, hey, if it doesn't work out, we just divorce, yada, yada, yada. That's not what it was about, right? And so if you take it serious, that's why you sit here and you go, fuck, man, like, I'm going to get married. And that means I'm going to be with Kristen, you know, forever. You know what I mean? And so yeah, there's all kinds of reservations. Well, fuck, can I deal with the way that she loads the dishwasher? Right? Like, hey, that may be an issue. There's certain things. Like,
There's news. Okay. We have agreed on sharp knives down.
Okay. Yeah, so, That makes sense. So good.
We got a little headway there.
Good, man. But yeah, long story short, dude, I love that you analyzed it that way. Like, hey, my heart, my soul was pulling me to make this decision. And now just because we're 5 days away from it, it doesn't mean that that decision goes out the window. Right. It's just the anxiety, the fear of the unknown. And you have a different type of OCD than I do. I'm sitting here diagnosing you with OCD, right? Like, you have the impermanence, like things don't need to be in their same place. My shit needs to be in the same fucking place. Like, my living room has to be like perfectly fucking clean before I can even go to bed, bro. It has to be ready for me the next day. And I'm not like fucking like, you know, Howie Mandel, like super crazy, but it has to be a certain way. So I think it's interesting how we're complete polar opposites on that.
What I was going to say is, I think this can be applied to most kinds, like any kind of anxiety, like sitting here and reassuring yourself that we made this decision for a reason and we're going through with it like we originally planned to. We're not second guessing it because all of a sudden there's absolutely no new information and we just think it might be a bad idea for no fucking reason at all. That's not what we're doing. We made the decision because we knew it was the right one, and we stick with that. And we move on. That can be applied to any kind of like activity that you're getting anxious about, I think.
Yeah. And it's that fear-based response, right? It's the natural thing, right? It's a what if. It's a what if scenario, right? Like, well, what if this doesn't work out, or what if that happens, or what if this? It's based in the future. It's not based in the now. And so if you can recenter yourself and kind of be where you were just describing, like, hey, this is what it was. This is what it is. I'm excited about it. It is what it is. I'm not going to let these what if trepidations, you know, come in and try to tell me that I'm making the wrong fucking decision. And like I said, that's the well-practiced habits of the mind to try to navigate that. But sounds like you're doing it very well, man. And I'm very excited for you, bro. I'm jealous. I wish I was going to fucking Greece. Are you excited to go see Greece? You ever been to Greece?
I have not. And, yeah, it'll be real when I'm on the plane. And then like sometimes I'll have these moments where I'm seeing it from outside of myself. Like, I was just randomly scrolling through a reel and like these pictures of Greece came up and I was like, holy fucking shit, I'm going there. It'll be real when I'm on the plane. I'm very excited. I'm happy about, you know, the way we're doing it and this memory that we're both going to have together. Mm-hmm. Just for us. And yeah, man. And speaking of anxiety and being concerned about things, here's the question. Does one bring jeans to Greece?
I think so, dude. I think it's better to be prepared. No?
I don't see.
I think it's better to be prepared.
Oh, dude. It is, first of all, balls hot by all accounts. It is flaming hot. Everybody's like, bring your linen, bring your shorts, bring your short sleeves.
Okay.
And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to pack a pair of jeans. I'm never going to wear them.
That's fine.
It is balls hot out there is the word on the streets.
Okay.
And I've created some nice, you know, we got the short suits, but also got some nice like polo shorts, and I got a bunch of short sleeve button downs. I have nice dinner attire, fashionable, you know what I mean, wear for the Greece life.
Okay. Well, then don't bring the jeans. And then when you come back and you're like, hey, dude, one day a fucking cloud came and I was freezing my nutsack off, dude. Then we can talk about it. It'll be something we can talk about on the show.
Don't you plant that seed.
It's it, dude. The Creven curse, dude. Better watch out. Just bring a pair of jeans just in case.
Creven curse. We lost like 3 Super Bowls because you fucking
beat the shit. You brought the last one on yourself, dude. You provoked it. I'll tell you what.
I didn't know such thing.
So this is where now I mentioned this on one of our last episodes. I think, what was it? Like probably 4 back that Ash got me that like MyHeritage DNA testing. And it takes a month for you to get that shit back. Let's take a quick guess. There was a sniper one in here that what's cool with this app, dude, is that you can actually like go in and see like the chromosomes that you match with these certain people. So I'm doing more digging, but What do you think the majority percentage of the Cree is? What do you think?
You're 7% boner biter.
Dude, that's for sure, dude. And spinner. it's fucking shoot,
you Italian. Okay. Majority's Italian.
Majority is not Italian.
Irish.
Irish, yep. 43% Irish, Scottish, and Welsh. So like, dude, I've been digging into this shit, and like, dude, I got like fucking like distant third cousins in England as we speak. I didn't even know I had any of that English shit in me, which is wild. Next is the Italian. Like next is the Italian. I did some deep diving on this. Banana vibes. I did some deep dives on that. My people air from Palermo, which is down there at the bottom, a beautiful little oceanside city in the Sicilian region. I have a cousin. It's verified. His name is Vincenzo. And I also have another cousin. His name is Guido. They are at Italy as we speak. So that's super rad.
And also, note to the listener, you fumbled the bag not naming your child Vincenzo.
Dude, I totally did, bro. I mean, Graham or Vincenzo, dude. Could you imagine like getting mad and calling my son Vincenzo? Like, dude, you
Vincenzo, come here. Yeah.
Vin, you call him Big Vinny, Big Vin, Little Vin. Dude, I fucked up. And then there's only a few more. Then it's Eastern European, which is the Germanic, the Austrian, Germany. There's a little bit of the Belgian in there, all that. The one that fucked me up the absolute most, you ready? There's 5%.
Japanese.
No, dude, 5%. East Asia. Do you know what that is? Ready? That's Turkey, Georgia, Iraq, Iran, Syria, Israel, that region. So some fucking Arabian Nights over here, dude. Like, I don't know how accurate that is. It says lower confidence, but dude, that threw me for a fucking loop, dude. Like, so I'm like doing more digging.
Dude, we are all mutts. We're all mutts. Not surprising at all.
Yeah, it's dude. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting Irish, German, and Italian. I was expecting that all three of those things were true. But then you're gonna tell me that I have fucking random West Asia, Iraqi, Iran shit. Like, what is that?
I don't think it's that crazy.
All right. Some Hamas Cree. All right, dude. Whatever you say. I'm going to buy one and I'm going to send it to you. And you're going to send your DNA.
I'm just over here trying not to get canceled for making racist jokes. So that's I seem silent. I'm just trying. My brain is like, you can't say that. You can't say that.
Yeah. Like I said, it's like 5%. It's low confidence. So I don't know the validity of it. I'm going to take another test from another company and see if it's real. But the consensus
low confidence,
is,
high anxiety, just like you.
That's it, dude. ISIS Cree. You guys better watch your ass.
Oh, it says when he gets mad, he turns into Joe Pesci, but it's really Osama bin Laden.
Dude, it's the Osama Joe Cam Pesci, dude. You better watch out, dude. Just one angry fucking motherfucker, dude. I will kill you.
Oh boy! On that note, let's get the fuck out of here, huh?
Well, we got one more thing. I want to apologize for burying the Belgian. Our RSS data updated, and it appears that you have been listening to every single fucking episode.
The Belgian is back.
So the Belgian never left.
Left.
Yeah. I have it down here. The Belgian resurrection. The Belgian was here. The Belgian was here the entire time. And this comes back to our old listeners. fuck you, Belgian, you fucking asshole. You have literally been listening to every goddamn episode, and you still...
Every plead, every beg.
Every beg. Dude, we gave up on you, and you still just literally could have hit us up and said, hey, I'm still here, guys. Chin, chin. Hey, I love what's going on. Can I get that free shirt that you mentioned fucking 2 years ago? You know, anything. And but nope, here you are, listening silently in Brussels. I'm going to send Henry over
like
there.
Like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, dude. You're a dickhead. All right? Anyways, no, we do love you. I'm glad that you were still listening this whole time. Fucking reach out to us, you fucking cocksucker.
But how, though... Did RSS not update, or did he just he or she just binge? Because how did it go from like 14 Belgian plays to 72 like overnight? How does this happen?
Yeah, but it's all the same. It's all the same area. It's the same person. It's the same fucking person. So yeah, they might have just binged. Maybe you had a life.
It was
event,
like
Belgian. Yeah.
But then you listen to 50 episodes in the span of like since we noticed.
But I wasn't paying attention.
I don't know, dude. No, I wasn't paying attention.
I gave up on the Belgian, but then when we noticed, they listened to every single episode. So I take back everything I said, Belgian. We love you. So I thought we'd throw it back. Do it,
just
baby.
Hit us up, dude. Rude Dude Pod on Instagram. Send us a message.
Just one.
If you're not the Belgian and you're listening, go follow us. And also, I need you to do three things, or one of three things, or all three things. One, send this to a friend. Two, rate it, share it, rate it, comment, leave a review. And three, send it to another friend.
Tell that friend to send it to another friend. All right.
I forgot.
And if you happen to be in a state where spinning is allowed, help is available. Stop.
Yeah.
Help is available, dude. I got
to
find the
game. Stop spinning. Start sinning. Send our shit to your friend.
Dude, stop spinning. Start sending. That's our tagline, dude. We got to make a shirt.
We are now including Gamblers Anonymous in our areas of expertise and help. So if you got a friend who be spinning, send this shit to them.
Dude, I just
also
I'm sorry.
Are you spinning right now?
Yeah, dude. I picture you sitting at a fucking dinner table at a restaurant and you just got some guy. Are you spinning? Oh, dude, I can't get over it. All right, man. Well, hey.
I would also like to say that since I checked on the Belgian and what's going on, we have crested 7,000 total plays.
Thank you to everybody. Thank you.
Shout out to the listeners. We love you guys.
You guys are awesome.
Will keep pumping this shit out, whether it's just one of us or both of us or perhaps special guest host Forrest Brownell.
Yes. I think after you get back from Greece, we'll be back on a regular schedule where both of us will be together again. Because this is what Rude Dude is. But yes, next week while Hen is in Greece, wearing jeans because a cloud came, I will be sitting here with Forrest, and we will be talking about a multitude of things. I have some things on the docket. I'm going to keep it a secret. So not even Forrest knows what we're going to talk about. Little pre-warning, you're not going to have the fancy snazzy intro music or anything because Henry is the editor and Henry is
Cameron's a lazy bum.
I have an old MacBook and it will not update to the most recent GarageBand.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Right. It won't do it. That was the reason I had to shill it off to you. So it's going to be raw dogged. It may have
raw
shitty,
dog.
It's just going to be literally welcome back to Rude Dude. Here's me.
If Asbestos doesn't perform the intro song and
dude,
exit
I'll,
song,
I'll
you
it.
Ain't
I'll
shit.
I'll do it, dude. Thank you.
For... Ride and steal the beat. That's on.
Okay. Oh, dude, got the BP. Okay. Yeah. That's a great idea, dude. That's how I'm breaking it in. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Well, I wish you safe travels, my friend. I know that all of Rude Gang's super happy for you. We love you very much. And if there's anything else you need from me, let me know. We'll see if we can get you on over there in Greece. If not, I'll hold it down.
You will be with us in the form of a fantastic handcrafted rosary.
Yeah, that blue one's fucking fire, dude. That blue one, I that took time. I had to bend every single bead at a 90 and bend it back. I made that, like, I put time into that bitch.
It's super sick, dude.
Thanks, super dude. Sick. Thanks, dude. Rude Dude Rosaries, if you want one, I'll sell one to you.
Yeah, that should be a thing. And they're expensive because they're handmade, and I get 20%.
I kind of just want to do it, dude. I just want to, like, throw them on the Etsy shop. If anybody's interested in that, let me know. I'll whip them up, and then you can support the show that way.
Message us if you want a Rude Dude. It probably won't say Rude Dude, but it will be Rude Dude, and you can carry it with you for the extreme high vibes and the favor of our friend and savior, JC.
JC, dude, JC, and they were handmade by the Kreeran, one of a kind.
Note to end user, though, do not freestyle a prayer with curse words in front of your Catholic fiance. Not a fan.
How'd that go?
She was like, I forget what she did, but she's like,
dude, I
cross herself and do all the jazz and stuff.
All the jazz.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what I'm doing here. All right, man. Well, unless we got anything else, I will finish it like I always do. I love you, Hen, very much. I'm excited to see you come back with whatever kind of ring you have on your finger. Very nice to see you today. I missed you, and safe travels, my friend.
Thank you. I love you too, Cree. And remember, tell your fuck ass self we made this decision for a reason and we're sticking with it. And be yourself and fuck what they think.
Quit fucking spinning, dude. Later, man. But for real, put that fucking phone down.
No jeans and grease. No jeans.